Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us today as we study your word that is written in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the glorious light of the gospel, and open our mind that we can understand. And I pray that you also open our heart that we can receive it, and hide your word within our heart, lest we sin against you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of all truth, and lead us and guide us into all truth, and empower us, enable us to be a doer of your word, apply what we learn into our own life, so that we won't fall into the trap that is set by Satan. And set us free from all harm. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 1. Sally, why don't you read it, the entire chapter?
Okay.
Chapter 6, 1 to 21.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name in our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. Love of money. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness means to financial gains, is a means to financial gains. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation, and a trap into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge men...
harmful
desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul's charge to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay treasure from themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in doing so have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you.
Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 2. Talk about what should the employee do to the employer, especially your employer is Christian. Okay? So, but in the in the book of Ephesians also talk about that too. So we will study that side by side. Also is in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Timothy is the pastor at the church of Ephesus. And Paul is more senior. And Timothy want to quit not to be a pastor at Ephesus because he faced so much persecution and suffering. And so that's why Paul write a letter to Ephesus, to the saints in Ephesus. So let's take a look at the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 2. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slander. And in the first part, talk about their master, their employer, not necessarily Christian, but the second part is those who have believing master are not to show less respect for them because they are brother. Instead, they are to serve them even better because those who benefit from their service are believer and dear to them. And these are the things you are to teach and urge on them. First of all, take a look in verse 1. If your master is not a Christian and you are a Christian, but you are a slave. Okay, in those days, how come people become slave? They become slave because they are poor, they sell their body, and pay for the debt probably, because you owe people money, you have nothing to pay, then you pay money to your master. You know, when you pay money to your master, then you become a slave to your master. Okay? So, when you become slave to your master, and so what should you do to your master? The Bible shows it very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 6, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect. Even though your master is not a Christian, but you are Christian, you still have to consider their master worthy of full respect. You understand? So now, of course, there's no slavery nowadays, but there's master and slave, but there's employer and employee. Okay? If you are what you call as an employee, and if your employer is not a Christian, and your supervisor is not Christian, and you should consider your supervisor worthy of full respect. By doing so, you know what? By doing so, God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. If they know that you are his subordinate and you are his employee, and yet you do not show full respect to your employer, and they will slander God's name. They say, is that what God teach you? And they not only slander God's name, they will slander our teaching. They say, is that what your pastor teaching you? Okay? So, don't ever let God's name and our teaching be slandered because of our behavior, not behaving properly in front of our supervisor, in front of our master, in front of our employer. So all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect by doing so. And God's name, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Okay, that's the reason for that. Another reason I would like to show to you is, if you are a Christian and you work under the supervisor, and no matter whether he is worthy of full respect or not, whether he knows his stuff. You know, some supervisor doesn't know his stuff. You understand what I mean? But he's your supervisor. You still have to show full respect to him or her. You understand? And you know what? If you don't show respect to your supervisor, and if the what you call VP or president approach your supervisor, he say, "Well, today nowadays economy is not that good. I want to cut budget," and he gonna ask the supervisor who should be cut. You know what? You don't show full respect, your name will be on the list to be cut. You understand? So if you really want, if you really want to keep your job, you know what I mean? If you really want to keep your job, so what should you do? Okay? Show respect. You know what? If you show respect to your supervisor, and let's say his superior asked the supervisor, okay, if there's 10 employees, I want to cut 20%, cut 2 employees. And he would do his very best not to cut you. He would cut someone else, you know. Because when it comes to cutting the budget, the employer is not going to talk to you. Your employer is going to talk to your supervisor, your master. So by showing respect to your master, to your supervisor, to your employer, it do you a lot of good. Can you imagine? You just take a look. Can you imagine? Let's say 10 years later, you become a supervisor. It takes you a long time to be a supervisor. You know, you go through all kind of hardship already. And you have to earn yourself to be supervisor, assuming you are the supervisor. And you work so hard to become supervisor, and people don't show respect to you. He just graduated from university. He thinks he knows everything. When it comes to cutting off, you know, who you're going to name? You say, this fellow, cutting him off. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? So what have you learned? Doesn't matter whether your master is Christian or not. They deserve full respect from you. Okay? That's Paul teaching. Take a look. That's how Paul teaching Timothy and asked Timothy to teach these kind of things on the scene. In the latter part of verse 2, these are the things you are to teach and urge on them. Okay? I tell you what, you know, this biblical teaching will help you. You go extra mile. Okay? Sometimes it doesn't matter whether you know your stuff. If you don't show respect, your supervisor don't care about the owner of the company. He still cut you off. He show his power to you. You understand? That's human being. And God's word teaching you. Now, take a look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 5, all the way to verse 9. Slaves, obey your earthly master. Employees, obey your earthly employers with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. How you treat Christ, you should treat your master, earthly master, the same way. You understand what I'm trying to say? How do you treat your earthly master? With respect. Obey them with respect. Obey them with fear. And obey them with sincerity of heart. Because the Lord looked at us. He didn't look at your superficial, your appearance. He look at the sincerity of your heart. And you should treat your earthly master with sincerity of heart. Don't just pretend to be obedient to him, and then when he step out and in the coffee break you bad mouth against him or her. You know what? Another employee heard that. He gonna betray you and tell the supervisor, you know what Joyce say? Joyce said that to you. You understand what I'm trying to say? He tried to please the supervisor. Don't ever bad mouth. So you have to treat your earthly master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Verse 6, obey them, obey your earthly master, not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slave of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Do it with your heart. Whether he's around, okay, let's say if your supervisor is not around, or you take full 15 minutes coffee break, or maybe sometime 35 minutes, you know, it's supposed to be 15 minutes, you take 35 minutes, you know, that's no good. You shouldn't do that, because by doing so, you're not treating your master, you're not obeying your master with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. But when your master around, then you don't take coffee break, or you only take coffee break with 10 minutes, because you want to gain favor. You say, well, I'm hardworking, I don't take coffee break for 10 minutes, although legally I can take it 15 minutes, right? But then, when your supervisor is not around, you take 35 minutes, you make up whatever time loss, you know? Don't do that. Because people are going to say to you, to your supervisor. You understand? Okay? Don't ever do that. Verse 6, obey your earthly master, not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Out of a willing heart to do it, okay? And then verse 7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not man. So from verse 5 all the way to verse 7, treat your earthly master as if he's Jesus Christ. You know what? If you really learn this lesson, you get promotion so quickly. Okay? They will promote you. Verse 8, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Because by doing so, the Lord will reward you. How did the Lord reward you? Reward you through your supervisor. What did I say? Obey them. Obey them with respect, with fear. Obey them with sincerity of heart. You treat them as if he's Jesus Christ. Serve them wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, okay? Wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not man. Because you know that God from heaven on his throne look at you, how you deal with your earthly master. And if God see that you do the right thing, God going to move your supervisor to give you a pay raise and promotion. Say, Pastor John, how do you know? Of course I know. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. In the same way, the employer's heart, your supervisor's heart, the heart of your supervisor is also in the hand of the Lord. When the Lord look at you, you did the right thing, you obey what the Lord has said, oh, he gonna direct your supervisor, move your supervisor like a watercourse wherever he please. He say, give Joyce Lamb double pay. You understand? So, verse 9. And master, treat your slave in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Do not threaten your subordinate when you become supervisor, when you become owner, when you become employer. Do not threaten your employee. Why? Since you know that God, Jesus Christ, who is both your master and theirs, and Jesus Christ is in heaven. Okay? Verse 9. And master, treat your slave in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. God is in heaven. He sees everything, and there's no favoritism with God. If you as a master mistreat the employee, God will punish you too. But if you do the right thing, deal with your master, deal with your employee properly, and God will bless you too. Okay? Because Jesus Christ is the true master of all the earthly master. Jesus Christ is also the true master of all the slaves. Jesus Christ is the true master, true employer of all employers, is true employer of all employees. Okay? Okay, go back, Timothy. That's Timothy chapter 6. So how's that job? Did he contact you? It's amazing, eh?
It's okay. And let it go. Look for another one.
Yeah. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6. I say verse 1 is how a Christian slave, how a Christian employee deal with the earthly master. Okay? Even though your earthly master is not a Christian. Verse 1. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their master worthy of full respect. Doesn't matter whether he's a Christian master or not Christian master, okay? Doesn't matter he's a believer or not. So that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Especially if he's a non-Christian, if he see that, oh, Joyce go to a church. So she is a Christian, and yet she's lazy. Wow, that's no good. You know what I mean? They say, is that what God tells you to do? Is that what your pastor teaching is all about? You know what I mean? It was slander, my teaching, and God's name. Verse 2. Those who have believing master are not to show less respect for them, because they are believer. So I want to stop here to explain that. Let's say if you are Christian, you are employee, you work for your employer who happen to be a believer. You say, oh, now, we know that Pastor John said in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 9, Jesus Christ, who is in heaven, and he is our boss, true boss. So we are all employees in God's sight. I don't need to respect you because we are brother and sister. Don't say that. Okay? Let's hear what Paul say. Those who have believing master are not to show less respect. You have to show full respect to your master, whether he's a believer or not. Okay? Why? It's just because they are brother. Because they are brother, that means what? We are the member of the body of Christ. If you do him good, that means you do the body of Christ. You do good to the body of Christ. Brother and sister, just like what? We are member of Jesus Christ, right? If you treat another member of Jesus Christ right, who get benefit? Jesus Christ get benefit, right? We are the member of the same body. If this hand try to punish this hand, who get hurt? The entire body get hurt. So don't ever think, he is Christian, I'm a Christian, Jesus Christ my Savior, my Lord, and Jesus Christ also your Savior, you're also your Lord. And now we become brother and sister, we are equal. You are not my boss anymore. Jesus Christ is my boss. That thinking is twisted thinking. You understand? Verse 2, those who have believing master are not to show less respect for them because they are brother. Instead, they are to serve them even better. Oh, even better. So in other words, if your earthly master is a non-believer, you have to show full respect. But if your earthly master is Christian, you should even show more respect. If you give 100% to your non-Christian employer, the Christian employer 120% you should give. You understand? Even better. That's what I mean by even better. Okay? Because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. Because we are the member of the same body. Okay? These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. All Christians should do the same. Okay? Verse 3. Okay, let's take a look. Because I know you may have a question. What if the earthly pastor are crooked, are wicked, and no good? Right? Okay, turn to 1 Peter. Let's hear what Peter say about that. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, starting from 13 all the way to the end, 25. Etta, could you read that?
13 to 25.
Yep.
Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul.
You see, what did he say? The first part, from 13 to 17, talk about what the citizens of a nation should do to those in authority, like king, governor, judges, and stuff like that. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And it is the Lord's idea. Okay, hold on a second. Let's. Yeah, So we'll come back to 1 Peter. Could you help to turn the Bible for them? 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Because the non-Christian always say bad things about Christian most of the time. So, but if you do good, you will silence them. They have nothing to say against you. Because they go, wow, you know, you're so good. So what else can they say? They can't bad mouth against you, right? So, in verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Verse 16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. And now, this is how we behave in front of kings, in front of governor, in front of everyone, in front of brotherhood of believer. Okay? And now in verse 18, how should an employee treat his employer? A slave treating his own earthly master. Verse 18, slave, submit in here. Peter says submit. But in another portion, Paul says obey, right? Or treat, right? In here, slave, submit yourself to your master with all respect in here. But in another place called with full respect. Remember that? In here, with all respect. Or with full respect. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. So don't tell me that if your employer is no good, then you don't treat him right. As I said before, if you want to get a job, and you want to keep your job right after you get it, make sure you treat your employer, your supervisor, with all respect, with full respect. What's the reason for doing so? What if you don't treat your employer, your supervisor with full respect? What kind of illustration, what kind of example did I just say? Etta?
To get rid of you.
When it comes to cutting off the budget, if the owner of the company asks the supervisor, I want to cut 20% of my expense, which area should I cut? You know what he say? He can say, oh, I know. I'm going to cut so and so, because he doesn't so respect me. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you want to keep your job, make sure you show proper respect. Full respect to your employee, to your employer, to your supervisor. You treat them with full respect. You know, some employers like that. Some employer doesn't know this stuff. You ask him question, he give you the wrong answer. And you know who make the mistake? You make the mistake. But you don't talk back. You absorb it. You don't bad mouth. You don't say that all in front of and other people say, my supervisor is no good. He know that you make that mistake because you say so, okay? Very unfortunate, you know, if you make the mistake because he give you wrong advice. But he's still your supervisor. You understand? So in here, the Bible say, whether your supervisor is good supervisor, considerate supervisor, or whether he's a harsh supervisor, doesn't matter how good or how bad he is. you show all respect, full respect. By doing so, you'll be able to keep the job. Okay? What's the reason for that? Verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. What is unjust suffering? He gives you the wrong advice. He doesn't know his stuff. He's not a good supervisor. You don't know how to do it. You ask for opinion. He gives you the wrong opinion. And you mess up the job. You just fix it. Okay? Don't blame him. Okay? Learn to submit to your earthly master. You protect him, he's going to protect your job. You bad mouth, you talk back, next time he's going to get rid of you if he has the opportunity. Okay? And the Bible says, verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. You do it for God's sake. You understand? Because God wants me to do it, I do it. If I get laid off because of this situation, you know what happened? God next time going to bring you a supervisor who knows his stuff. And you get your promotion too. Why? Because you obey God's word. God say, why you obey me? Oh, let me bless you. I take you from this place, I bring you to another place and give you a higher wages. You understand? It's good. Verse 20. But how it is to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? You don't get any credit. You deserve to get beating for that if you have done wrong, okay? But if you have done good and you get a beating, oh, God see that, he's going to rescue you. Okay, what good does it do? Let's say if you're Christian and your supervisor is non-Christian, you absorb the pain, you suffer for, because that's what God taught you to do. And if you keep on doing it, they can say, how come this employee is so good? And he's going to observe you. And next time you can share the gospel to your supervisor. Lo and behold, your supervisor may become a Christian. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is how you witness for Jesus Christ. Okay? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. God will reward you in due time. Verse 21. To this you will call. We all Christians are called to suffer for doing good. And when we suffer, we endure it until God delivers us. That's how God calls us to do. Okay? God calls us to live a holy life, to live a life that is different from the non-Christian. Okay? To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his step. You are not the first one to suffer. Jesus suffered for the unrighteous person. He is righteous, right? What he done is good for us. And we don't understand it, but later on when we understand it, we turn around and repent. Okay? By doing good, suffer for good, we turn people to become Christian. Okay? Now go back. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. Go back to verse 2. Those who have believing master are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better. Because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. Because if your master, if your employer, if your supervisor are Christian, if they are Christian, they are believer, and they are dear to you, then you should serve your Christian supervisor even better. In other words, if your supervisor is a non-Christian, you give him a full respect, you give 100% to your earthly supervisor, you should give at least 120% to a Christian supervisor. Okay? Do you see that? Let me see. I want to stop here. Let's say, as for a children, some children, they don't have a believer parents, right? Believing parents. Let's say your daddy is not a Christian, right? Your mother is, right? So if your daddy tell you to do something, should you obey your daddy? You should. And what about your mommy, who is a Christian? Should you obey? What's the reason why you obey? Do you remember? Why should you obey your mothers and father? Do you know the answer, Sally?
Because the Bible tells us to obey them, so then we can have a good life on earth. And I think Ephesians 6, 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's right. As a Christian, we should obey our parents. Obey them. It will do you good. You'll get blessing. You live a long life. If you disobey your parents, you won't get blessing. At home, you learn to obey your parents. At school, you learn to obey your teacher. At work, you learn to obey your supervisor. As a citizen of a nation, you learn to obey king, president, prime minister, and governor. You understand? We learn that. And at school, you learn to obey your teacher, right? At a church, you learn to obey the older people, that who know more about the Bible than you. And by doing so, and the Lord Jesus Christ sit in his throne in heaven, say, wow, Daniel did a good job. He's going to use you. You understand? If you disobey your parent at home, and then you disobey your supervisor in your workplace, or you disobey your professor at university, I tell you, you get nothing but trouble in your own life. Okay? Now go back. Chapter 6, verse 3. Etta, could you read that? Chapter 6, 3, all the way to 5.
3 to 5?
Yeah, 3 to 5.
If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain.
Not everyone, not every teacher in a church teaches true doctrine. If every teacher in a church teaches true doctrine, Paul doesn't need to write to Timothy in chapter 6, verse 3. if anyone teaches false doctrine. That means there's someone in the church will teach false doctrine. Not only Paul say that, in chapter 6, verse 3, in 1 Timothy. And I believe Peter say the same thing in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. Second Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. George, could you read that?
Okay.
Second Peter, chapter 2, verse 1.
But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord, who brought them, bring swift destruction on themselves.
In the Old Testament time, there were false prophets among the people, among the Jewish people. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you in New Testament time. You understand? So when you go to a church, make sure you yourself study God's word so that you are well versed. You understand what you believe. Okay? If you have this kind of habit, it will do you a lot of good. I tell you why. When you become older, you save up enough money, you want to buy a car, you go to a car dealership. Okay? You say, oh, I want to buy this car, the salesman going to sweet talk to you, oh, this is good because you get higher commission. You don't just listen to people. You take notes, you listen to what he say, but you go home compare with another dealer. He give you this price for this car, for this model, for this option. You ask him how much it costs. You understand? You don't just listen to him. You have to do your own homework. You go to another dealer, ask the same model with the same option. Has to be under the same warranty too, right? Same year. How much it costs? You got to do your homework and compare notes. Compare the price with this company and the price with that company. You don't just believe what you hear. By doing so, you won't be deceived by other people. Someone cannot take advantage of you because you do your homework. You understand? You always do that. You learn it in the church. When someone says something to you, you have never heard of it, you can ask him, where does it come from? Would you please tell me? Oh, 1 Peter, then you turn to 1 Peter. You read it yourself. Something you don't understand, you ask someone who understands, explain to me. You don't just believe by blind faith. You understand? You check him out. If you have the habit of checking people out, it is a less chance for you to be deceived by others. You won't be taken advantage by another people. You understand? So many deceivers in the society. You understand? Learn this habit. This is a good habit. You got that? You learn it at a church, and you do the same way when you go for shopping. Then, if you do this when you go for shopping, then have a seat. So as I said before, In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 3, if anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, verse 4, he is conceited and understand nothing. You never learn anything from any man who is conceited and understand nothing. You walk away from him. You understand? But if you don't check him out, how do you know he teaches false doctrine? You don't know, right? How do you know if you go to shop for a car? And how do you know this is the best price? First of all, you check it from internet. Find out what's the cost from the manufacturer. And then you go to a dealer. You ask him, what's the best deal I get from you? You check from various places. You get an idea how much you should pay for it. I want you to write it down right beside chapter 6 verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, right beside sound doctrine or godly teaching, right beside there, you write down book of Acts. Chapter 17, verse 10 to 11. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Verse 11. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. What did the Bible teach us in here? Which church is better? The church of Berean or the church of Thessalonians? Which church is better, Sally?
Bereans were more noble than.
Why Bereans were more noble character than
Thessalonians?
Why?
Because they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day.
They check him out. You know, like the more places you go for shopping, I believe you get a better price. Of course, you spend so much time already, you know. Time is money too. Okay? So, when you go to a church to hear the sermon, the best practice is this. Whatever you listen, you jot down, take notes. You don't come here with empty handed. Bring your own Bible and jot down every note that you hear. And then when you go home, check him out. Something you don't understand? Next week you come back and ask him, oh, I heard that you say this, but where does it come from? You understand? You ask and check. So Holly, what did I say?
When you
go to a church, what should you do?
When you listen, you take notes, you go home and you look.
And read it. Check them out. You should learn, you should do that when you go to school too. You listen to your teacher and you go home and read that material and check them out, right? The Bible say that Bereans were of more noble character than Thessalonians, For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. He checked Paul out, right? What's the reason for that, Joyce? What's the reason why you have to check the pastor? You want to make sure what?
Many teachers teach false doctrines.
Many teachers teach false doctrine. You have to check them out, then you know whether he teach true doctrine. Not every adult say things are to your advantage. He may try to deceive you, say something's wrong. You have to check them out. Don't just believe with a blind faith. You understand? Okay, now go back. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instructions of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. So what is the sound doctrine? What is the true doctrine and sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ? What is written in the Bible? The Holy Scripture, the Holy Bible, contains true doctrine and sound instruction. In other words, if the pastor or the elder or the deacon of any person, any teacher, Sunday school teacher, children teacher, I don't care what kind of teacher he is, if he's teaching you something that is contradicting the teaching of the Bible, you don't believe in him. He is a proud man. He thinks he understands something, but in fact, he understands nothing. He is conceited. He's proud. He's arrogant. You understand? Don't listen to this kind of person. If you listen to this kind of person, you'll be led astray. You go to the wrong way. Okay? Do you know that sometimes you go to a restaurant that not every restaurant are clean too, you know? If the lighting is not too good, you know, you don't see that, right? Lighting is good, you see it. Ah, come on, the dish is so dirty, right? Table is sticky, right? Right? You don't just say, oh, because it's a restaurant. It must be clean. No, not necessary. Check him out. Check on the table. Oh, it's sticky too. We get chewing gum, you know? That place is not that good, right? So when you go to the restaurant, you don't put the chewing gum underneath either, okay? Right? Otherwise, next time when you go there and you touch your hand, oh, so many chewing gum at the bottom of the table. Did you do that?
When I was younger.
When you were younger? Oh, now I know your secret. But now? You don't do it anymore, right? That's good. You know what? Don't ever bring chewing gum to Singapore. Okay? It's illegal. You cannot chew gum in Singapore.
What?
Do you know that?
Why?
Well, there's one young man from US. I think he chew gums and then he stick it into the subway. He gets spanked. Even the US government cannot stop that. The authority in Singapore spank him. Okay? And then release him, kick him out. He's a tourist.
Why?
It's illegal in Singapore. I don't know why. They want to keep the city clean.
That's what I thought. Ridiculous.
Huh?
I think it's ridiculous.
Why?
Because it's just gum. A lot of chemical stuff there.
Yeah, but just like this girl. She stick chewing gum at the bottom of the table.
I know it's not good, but maybe wanted to change. Just like I remember in Ontario before,
the people not allow, don't allow to put the paint on the clothes outside. But now they agree, they fine. People complain. I think sunshine is the best thing to kill a lot of bacteria.
You mean chewing gum?
No, it's not chewing gum. I mean, just you know, Chinese people like to hang on the clothes. If you wash clothes, you like to hang outside.
Okay.
But in Toronto, I think in Ontario,
you are not allowed?
Yeah. But now they change it.
In my apartment?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
He said you move out?
Yeah,
he's still not allowed.
I know, but I mean, someday maybe they change it, but something looks like a little bit ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. I tell you why. I tell you why it's not ridiculous. Okay, yeah. I tell you why. Uh-huh. A lot of people put all kind of stuff in the balcony. And assuming you bought that apartment, let's say you bought that apartment with $300,000. And then you get all kind of people move in. They hang all kind of thing in the balcony. You look at it, you say, this place not good. I don't want to pay for $300,000, maybe $200,000. Who get lost? You get lost. So that's why the apartment, the condominium association, they have rule and bylaw and regulation stopping people. If this kind of stuff is not supposed to be in the balcony, you not put it in the balcony. And you're not supposed to hang clothes, underwear and all this kind of thing. It's like flag, you know.
Oh.
If you are wealthy, you're not going to buy this apartment. It looks bad.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? The reason why when they have rule and regulation, there's a reason for that. They want to add value to your investment in the apartment.
Yeah.
You spend $300,000 and some kid, you know, hang underwear and everything. You look around, oh, this kind of place like that. I'm not going to buy this kind of apartment, right? Then your value depreciate, right? That's a reason for that, okay? Anyway, if you allow, in U.S., in Canada, you can chew gum, okay? You can buy in Safeway. But in Singapore, you cannot chew gum.
No, the gum is bad, though. There's like black spots on the ground. That's all gum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you look outside in a restaurant.
And not only that, you cannot clean that.
Yeah, it's really hard to clean.
Very hard to clean.
Yeah.
And who going to clean it? It costs so much money to clean it.
Oh, okay.
Who going to clean it?
I think it may be a reason.
There's a reason for that, you know? And especially this young lady, when you were young, you just stick it here, you know?
It tastes good.
It tastes good, right?
Good.
Yeah. Okay, go back. Chapter 6, verse 3, if anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited, he is arrogant, he is a proud man, and he understands nothing. So don't listen to this kind of person. And he has unhealthy interests in controversy and quarrels about word that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth, and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. This person, if he teach false doctrine, teach unsound instruction that against the Bible teaching, teaches you ungodly teaching that's against the biblical teaching, you walk away from him because he has an unhealthy interest in controversy. He loves to argue. He loves to quarrel. Especially quarrel about word, certain word in the Bible. He loves to quarrel about that. And that results in envy, results in strife, results in malicious talk, evil suspicion and constant friction between men of corrupt mind. Why? What makes the man having a corrupt mind? Because his mind has been robbed of the truth. He didn't have any God's word in his own mind. Okay? He has no common sense. He doesn't know what is true, what's not true. And besides, he thinks that godliness is a means to financial gain. Godliness is not a means to financial gain. Okay? He thinks that, oh, if I'm godly, I will make a lot of money. Okay? That's what he thinks. But that's not what the biblical teaching is. But nowadays, if you turn on the TV, TV evangelists, they say, oh, if you love God, if you do this, you will become rich. And some people even buy the lottery. It is him who teaches you this kind of unsound instruction, false doctrine. That's not what the Bible says. Okay? Take a look at what Paul say in verse 6 all the way to verse 10. Okay? Joyce?
The godliness of contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
If your mind is a corrupt mind, if you have been robbed of the truth, you don't know God's word, then you think, oh, godliness is a means to financial gain. That's not what God teaches you. What God teaches you is in verse 6 all the way to verse 10. Godliness has to come with contentment. You have to be happy with what you have. Don't be greedy to get more. I want you to write it down right beside contentment. Write down Hebrew chapter 13. What is the reason why godliness with contentment is great gain? Hebrew 13. Hebrew 13, 5 to 6. Hebrew 13, 5. So do you have a hard time to find the Bible verses? You find it? You cannot find it? Hebrew 13, 5 to 6. Okay. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said. What did God say? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Verse 6. So we said with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? So I want you to write it down. Why godliness with contentment? Right beside contentment, you write down Hebrew 13, verse 5 to 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Because God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So that's why if God says something like this, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That means when you are in need, when you are in trouble, when you are in financial need, God say, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you, I will help you. When God say that, then you can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You understand? So you don't need, if you are godly, if you are godly, you live a godly life, you obey God's word. When you are in need, He see that. He can help you. Can you imagine, Daniel, if you obey your parents? When you become hungry, do you love Kentucky Fried Chicken? You love that, eh? Finger licking good, right? And if Daniel is obedient to your own parents, and you become very hungry, what will your parents do? I know what Daniel like, and he obey me. Let me give him a treat. Go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, a big barrel, 20 pieces. You want to finish it yourself?
I can't even finish
you
that.
Can't. Who said that you? I want to finish it on one day? Is to give you a whole week of supply. 2 pieces a day, okay? But tell you one thing. If you obey your parents know what you need, He will provide for you. How much more our Heavenly Father if you obey God, and He know that you are poor and needy now, will He not provide you and meet all your need? Okay? Godliness means you obey God, you follow Him, you submit to God, you believe in God, you listen to Him and follow Him. That means godliness. When you obey God, you have to have contentment too. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't say, oh, godliness is a means to financial gain. Then you'll be in deep trouble. Okay? Verse 7. Why? For we brought nothing into the world. I want you to write beside that, we brought nothing into the world. You write down Job. Job chapter 1 verse 20 to 21. Or just write 21. 121. 121. We brought nothing into the world. You write down Job 1:21. Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. 1:21. Do you find it? Job 1:21. Then did you come into the world with clothing? How did you come into the world?
Without clothing.
Naked, right? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Okay? So, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. He didn't say housing, eh? He didn't say you have to have an apartment, you have to have a beautiful house. He didn't say that. But if we have food to sustain your life and clothing to keep you warm, and we will be content with that. Verse 9. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge man into ruin and destruction. So what happened if I am a godly man, if I'm a Christian, and then I love money? Sally, what's the end result?
You will wander away from the faith, and then you will cause grief to yourself.
I will plunge myself into ruin and destruction. It's very dangerous, eh? So God teaches us, what's the sound doctrine? What's the true doctrine? What's the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ? Godliness with contentment is great gain. What kind of gain do you have? Right beside great gain, you write down four. Write down 4, 7, and 8. Great gain. You write down 4, 7 to 8. Train yourself to be godly in the latter part of verse 7. For physical training is of some value, but godliness have value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. If you train yourself to be godly, by doing so, God promised to give you blessing for this present life and the life to come. And in here, he teaches us godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food to eat, clothing to keep yourself warm, we should be content with that. Verse 9, people who want to get rich fall into temptation. That temptation will plunge you into ruin and destruction. If you want to get rich, you may fall into a trap, that trap set by Satan. If you want to get rich, you fall into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge man into ruin and destruction. You may destroy your own life. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. All kind of evils come from the love of money. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. They used to be a believer, but now they wander from the faith. They don't believe in Jesus Christ anymore. When they do not believe in Jesus Christ anymore, what happened? They pierce themselves with many grief, just like you pierce yourself with knife, with sharp objects. It hurt. You understand? So godliness is not enough. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It holds promises for both the present life and the life to come. It do you good now, and it do you good in the future. If you don't have contentment, if you're not content with what you have, you will keep on getting more and more. And that's why a lot of people, they want to work on Sunday. Why? Because they get double pay. When you go to work on Sunday, that means you cannot go to the church on Sunday. If you don't go to the church on Sunday, will you learn God's word? You don't know God's word, right? Then sooner or later, you wander from your faith. And eventually, you pierce yourself with many grief. You're going to suffer. not only you suffer, your children after you will suffer. Can you imagine if I do not know God's word and my daughter asks me questions, I say, I'm sorry, I don't understand. How does she feel? She say, well, if daddy doesn't know, how can I know? So I don't bother study the Bible. Right? But if she asks me question, I give her the same answer, help her to understand. It help her to keep reading it, right? Because if daddy understand, and I have the ability to understand too. Right? So you have to skip a good example. Is how old are you, Daniel?
12.
So maybe 20 years from now you get married, right?
I don't know.
You don't know? You want 20 or 15?
I don't know if I'm going to get married.
You're not going to get married?
I don't know if I'm going to.
Okay. But I give you 10 years time to learn the Bible. Just in case when you get married and then you have baby and then your baby can ask you, Daddy Daniel, could you explain to me what this Bible means? What does it mean by godliness with contentment is great gain? You won't wander away from your faith. You won't pierce your heart with many grief. You won't fall into a trap set by Satan. You won't lead yourself into temptation. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation. If just in case we are in temptation, deliver us from evil. You understand? Don't fall into the trap that plunder you into what? Into ruin and destruction. Love of money will plunder you into ruin and destruction. You cannot get out. Because when you start loving money, nothing will be enough. You just keep getting more and more. And eventually, you walk away from your faith. And you go to hell. It's very dangerous. So in other words, if you go to a church, the pastor say, oh, you do this and you do that, you'll be rich. Then what do you say? Then you show him this passage. Love of money is a root of all kinds of what?
Evil.
So he's not teaching you sound doctrine. He just tells something that you like to hear. Because he knows that you love money. And he showed you a way to make money. And you think that this church is a good church. But that is not a good church. He teaches false doctrine. You understand? So, any of you has any question? Joyce, you have any question? What did daddy teach you? How to keep your job if you get a job?
Serve your master, your employer.
Yeah.
With full respect. And if it's a Christian master, then it's even more respect than the full respect.
Okay. And what if your supervisor is harsh to you? Not considerate, not gentle, not good. What is your response to your harsh supervisor?
Treat him as you would treat a good and considerate supervisor.
If he tell you a bad advice and you mess up your job and you suffer for it, should you bad mouth against him or her?
No.
Then you suffer for God's sake. And then you wait for God to deliver you. You understand? This is commendable in God's sight. By doing so, you have the opportunity to lead your supervisor to Christ, to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not good. We are all sinners. And we don't know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We ignore Jesus. But once we understand Jesus is so good, we repent and turn around and become a believer. You understand? If Jesus Christ mistreat you and being harsh to you, will you come and follow after him? You won't. You won't believe in him. You know what I mean? So God sometimes allow us to suffer in our employment for righteous sake, not to badmouth against your supervisor, not to steal anything from him, nor do you take a longer than what is allowed for the coffee break. When he's around, you don't take coffee break. When he's not around, oh, you know that he's on trip or whatever. He won't come back in the afternoon. You take 2 hour coffee break. You know? Nowadays, you know, in the office, there is hidden camera throughout the whole places. You understand? Don't use the company telephone to dial long distance to whoever your friends in US, Hong Kong, China, because they keep all the record. You get fired. Don't ever use the computer, your company computer, to search for internet and waste time, because they can track how much time you search the internet and they will fire you. You understand? When they pay you 7 hours, you work for 7 hours. Treat your employer with full respect. Treat him and obey him with fear, as if you serve the Lord, obey the Lord, with integrity of your heart, wholeheartedly. You serve him. Not just in front of him, you work hard. Behind him, you being lazy, that's no good. You understand? Then all your colleagues say, wow, Daniel is a hypocrite. When the boss is around, when daddy, mommy is around, he do this and do that. When he's not around, Sally see that you just don't do that, right? Then we all see that, right? Don't be hypocrite. Be a true man. Okay? What else have you learned? Sally?
Not to use godliness for financial gain, or else I'll be plunged into destruction.
Yeah. Enough is enough. To be content with what you have. Why? For the Lord said, never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. Then you can say, when you hear that's what God said to you, oh, I know that God will help me. What can man do to me? God is my helper. God is my refuge, my strength, my ever-present help in times of need. Right? Then you don't worry. God will provide. So, Etta, what have you learned?
That if I want to get rich, it's destructive.
Yeah. And destroy our own life. You're not only not getting rich, you become even more poor. Enough is enough. Be content with what you have. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Then what else the time that you're going to spend? You know, if I'm not eager to make money, then you get a lot of time. Spend the time to serve God, reading God's word. Okay? So you want to introduce yourself to us? You want to speak in Chinese or English? Either way is okay.
Yeah, I like English.
Okay, English.
I want improve my English.
Okay. Could you introduce yourself to us? Where you come from?
Okay.
How long have you been here?
I come from China.
China?
I have been here 2 years.
2 years already?
Yeah.
Are you working?
Yeah, I work here.
What do you do for a living?
I work for Edmonton School Board.
Edmonton School Board?
Yeah. I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher?
Yeah.
Teaching?
Teaching Chinese Tai Chi, Chinese calligraphy, Chinese painting.
Yeah. Okay. And is that your...
My wife.
Beloved wife.
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah. Iron, right?
Anna.
Yeah. Anna.
I'm Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
J-A-S-O-N.
Yeah.
Jason. Jason, Anna.
Anna.
Yeah, nice to meet two of you.
Thank you.
And your name?
My name is Peggy.
Peggy.
Becky.
Becky.
Yeah.
B-E-G-G-Y?
B-E-G-G-Y.
Huh?
B-E-K-K-Y.
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 Becky.
Okay. Becky. Your last name?
My last name?
Yeah.
K-O-U.
K-O-U.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name is John Lam.
John Lam.
She is your daughter.
She's my daughter, yeah.
You're a pastor?
I'm pastor here, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your daughter?
My daughter, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joyce.
Where are you from?
I was born in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
I came to Canada in 1973.
Huh.
Before you were born?
Yes. No. I born 1965.
1965, okay. Yeah. So, you introduce yourself, Etta?
Oh, I'm Etta. I'm somebody else's daughter. in the other room.
You're a student?
Yeah, I'm a student.
University?
And they were all born in here, mm-hmm. All of them.
No,
yeah. Yeah, Etta, Joyce,
you
Daniel, they all born in here.
I was born in Hong Kong.
University?
Yes. What do you do?
I do some kind of computer job.
This?
Computer job?
This same?
What do you say?
The same.
Is the English one is not the same, but the Chinese one is the same.
Same?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The English one is not the same. This English one is NIV, yeah? Mm-hmm. This NIV translation is better than your Bible.
This is
better, the this NIV better. Translation, yeah.
This is a new version.
New International Version. They call NIV. NIV.
NIV.
New International Version. Yeah, B version called NIV. Yeah. New International Version is a better version. Because when you read this NIV, it's more or less like conversational. When you read it, you understand right away. It's not like some Chinese, their old Chinese, you read it, you have to read so many times before you understand.
Yeah.
It's not verbal. You know what I mean? It's difficult to understand. This one, NIV, is easy to understand, and that's how people speak. So this, then you learn more of this.
No, I don't know. Maybe reading this is better.
Better. Yeah. Better. But because when you go to the church, most of the church using NIV.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is not NIV.
This is not NIV. I think this is Living Bible. Let me see. Let me see. Yeah. Simplify. No. Hold on a second. This is Chinese one. I believe this look like it's a Living Bible. Canadian Bible Society.
Contemporary.
English version, yeah. But the contemporary English version is not as good as the NIV. This one is easy to understand. On top of that, is very close to the original version of the Bible. Because you don't want to just say, oh, make everything so easy to understand, and then it's different from the what the original language. Yeah. So, okay, shall we have a word of prayer, and then we can have a fellowship. We have dinner too. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand your word and give us the Holy Spirit and fill our heart with your Holy Spirit so that we be able to obey your word and be blessed by you. And give you thanks for giving us time to study your word. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.